Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that will hopefully make you smile, laugh, and freak out inside. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie. Sean's an ex-cop who does happier things now.
That's for sure. And Carrie's a New York Times and internationally best-selling children's book novelist. We live in Down East Maine, and our podcast is a little funky. We start off with a random thought we recorded in bed, or the kitchen, or the car, and then we give a writing tip and a dog tip for life because our dogs are wise and smart and like to be included.
We're not hoity-toity. We're not all trash talk, although we try. We're just us. So thanks for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and be cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and dogs are smarter than people. And we begin with a random thought.
Let's do it, baby.
Now.
Ooh. Hey, it's random thought time. I'm in bed.
Yes, it is.
Why are you laughing?
I was coughing. No. Trying not to.
Oh.
Sorry. You got me all choked up earlier.
Okay. Anyways, hi.
Hey. How's it going?
Not very well.
Why not? You gotta be still. You can't be moving around.
I can't help it. I moved. All right. So, hey, random thought in bed again.
Yeah. Again. Did you start it over?
No, but I feel like we should have. Okay. So, hi. Apparently, Sean Kelly, we've had over 250,000 downloads for our podcast.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Not as awesome as our daughter's TikTok, but...
You know what that's up to?
No, I don't want to know. I'll get jealous.
426,000.
For that one video?
Yeah. She's got over 7,700 followers now.
Our daughter started a TikTok like 2 weeks ago.
And made this.
And she's 12.
Yeah.
And she made a BTS thing. And
so. I don't even know if it's BTS. It's about clothing. Outfits. Which outfit would you choose? It's creeping up on 500,000 views.
So apparently she's going to be an influencer. Even though her face is never on camera.
Not yet. It will be. She asks me almost every day.
No.
Why not?
Oh. Anyway, so yeah, we kind of suck compared to that.
Hey, man. You never know when one can go wild.
Wild child.
A couple hundred thousand listens all of us home. That'd be awesome.
I don't think that's ever going to happen to us, dude.
Oh, well. Hey, what's dark tourism?
Dark tourism. I was looking at that today.
I see that on the screen. What is it?
So basically, it's like when, like you're a tourist, right? So you go visit another place, but like dark tourism is basically when you go and you look at places like that have to do with like death.
Oh, cemeteries and churches.
Yeah, or like concentration camps.
Oh yeah.
And like morgues and it's really dark. It's really, really dark. Yeah. And there's like ethical issues involved sometimes because like, oh, that's our cat.
Yeah, she'll be quiet in a minute. She's only lonely for like 30 seconds.
It's so sad. She's downstairs.
Embraces her solitude.
But anyways, yeah, dark tourism, man.
What were you reading about it?
Oh, I was like trying to find out like what, because I had never heard of it. Because apparently I am not that smart. And I was like trying to see what kind of places were considered dark tourist places, you know. Right. And I'd gone to some, honestly. Like the Communist Museum in Prague is one. Oh. And like... also in Prague, like, is a bunker from the Cold War. Yeah. That's considered one. And there's also, like...
We've been to a lot of cemeteries.
Yes, and there's also a mausoleum, like a church. And in the bottom of the church is where they killed and captured these people who had killed a bad Nazi guy. And because, like, there's, like, here's the bullet hole in the wall. And, like, all this guy. And it's a museum where these martyrs for the cause, you know, against Hitler died. Like, they died there, but now it's this museum where people go to, so that's considered dark.
Does that count if you go to, like, Disney World and you put your hand, your head and your hands in the stockades?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. Well, that's good. I bet the Salem Witch Museum would count, maybe, though.
Should. Yeah. It would seem like it.
Right. You just moved. And you were yelling at me.
Only because you yell at me every time I breathe. I mean, move.
That's so
funny. Are those all the United States ones?
Yeah, yeah. This is not going to be a good random thought.
Why not?
Because you're being mean.
I wasn't being mean. What mean?
You're consistently mean.
Oh, my.
Do you know what that means?
What does that mean?
That you've gotten really good at it.
What?
Yeah, because when you're consistent with things, you become really good at them. Oh, Sparty's snoring. You hear that?
Yes, he's quite a snore. He's not even, he's down on the floor even.
So, like, places in the U.S. that would be considered dark tourism are, like, for some reason, Yellowstone National Park. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, there goes our cat again. Oh, my gosh, our cat.
She misses her kids.
She sounds like she's dark tourism.
I know.
So, basically, like, it's because of the geysers. They think that they're kind of, like, super eruption possibility makes them destructive.
Oh.
You know, like, because it's on that volcano hotspot. Right. And, like...
So, because people want to see the geysers, that equates to they're hoping for mass destruction explosion.
I don't know. Like, I think it's kind of weird that Yellowstone is one, but I guess it's...
Man, that's quite the website, you know it?
The dark tourism website? Yes. Yeah, there's a website all about it. It's called dark-tourism.com. And, like the Hindenburg crash site would be an example of one in the U.S. Or the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, because so many people...
Suicides.
Yeah. And so the site has, like, all these different countries from Albania to Zimbabwe. And places that are considered dark tourist sites. And I had no idea that was a...
thing, right?
No.
I know, me neither, because I can actually think of one, at least one, that would definitely qualify that I actually would like to have gone to at some point in time just to see it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know, I didn't say.
You're not saying
but I think it's in Japan. Oh. I think it's the Suicide Forest.
Oh, yeah.
Place?
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Like, it's all sad because it's morbid and death-related. And these are people who died in these places. And
some of it's super morbid and death-related, and some of it is historic.
Well, the morbid can be historic.
Yes, they can be. They can be both, for sure. But some lack the historic, I think.
It's interesting that we don't have, like, you know, we have dark tourism. We don't have light tourism. Like, this is the place of goodness. What?
No.
Oh, I guess churches? With churches?
I think they're right on the fence. They can go either way. You know what I mean?
I know, but why are we all so fascinated with the dark side? Join the force, Luke.
It's like we watch Ghost Adventures so much. I mean, I do.
Yeah, you do.
In between American Pickers episodes, I see Ghost Adventures.
Oh no, I'm smart laughing.
You just
let's stop that. This. This is too embarrassing.
Oh, it's getting embarrassing. Writing tip of the paw.
So, hi.
Hey.
Is this
what? No, I was going to say you might want to speak up there.
We all can't be as loud voiced as you, Sean.
Why do you guys keep saying that?
Because
I'm not a loud talker.
Sean's not very self-aware sometimes, and he doesn't think he's a loud talker in real life. And so Emmy, her daughter, and I are trying to explain to him that he is indeed, dude, that's making noise.
Oh,
a loud talker.
I'm not.
No,
you know who's a loud talker? Kitty.
Yeah, our other daughter. Anyways, this week's episode is not just about dark tourism.
Wait, stop. What? Sorry. I just realized that Emily's the Whisperer.
Yes.
From that movie. Remember that guy that was the Whisperer? Yeah. It was like, a, you know, and we're all, you're always yelling at her. Mm-hmm. I said, hello.
So our daughter, Emily, who we love very much, I'll be like, hello. And there'll be silence. And I'll be like, buddy, I said hello.
Yeah.
Like, can you say hello back? And she'll be like, I did. And we'll both be like,
So she's the whisperer. Kitty and I are the loud talkers, and you're like the normal one, I guess.
I'm the only normal.
Yeah, pretty
much. I'm normie.
All right, roll on.
All right, so anyways, this podcast is not just about dark tourism and our own family. It's also supposed to be helpful. So we're going to talk about the most unsexy, underrated secret of success.
Woohoo!
Which, according to Karen Nemo in On the Couch on Medium, and you can click through and give her money, that underrated secret is...
Luck.
No.
Consistency.
And she's calling that unsexy. I'm sad that she doesn't think consistency is sexy, honestly.
I'm glad that you decided to bait it and I didn't have to. Because I was thinking... It's not necessarily unsexy.
No, man.
It can be very sexy.
I know. Yeah. Oh.
Like a lot of things that people do consistently can be sexy. I think it's probably one of the hardest aspects of success.
You think so?
Yeah, to keep just keep plodding along the pre-success.
I think that's the easiest part.
Just plodding along?
Yeah, oh. Really good at plodding.
I thought you were ambitious.
My little mantra, don't give up, don't get up, just keep working, just give up.
It works.
Is that sexy? Don't give up, just keep working.
Oh, sometimes it is. I've heard you say it in sexy ways before.
Anyways, she wrote, Karen, not John, I know you're rolling your eyes about consistency. I've seen my clients do it. Consistency as a concept lacks verve. Even the word is boring. And she has a semicolon there before even the word is boring. And I just don't agree with that at all because it should just be in a subordinate. I don't know. I just don't like that semicolon. Anyways, and no one rates consistency in a partner until they've been messed up by an inconsistent one. But the truth is, consistency rules in your job, your art, your relationships, your friendships, your health habits, your knowledge, your interests. And the danger in a volatile world is that we're destabilized, that we lose our good habits, that we lose faith in what we know is good and true.
That was a long quote.
I know, man.
So she's right.
Yes.
I'm laughing at something else.
Why are you right?
Huh?
The whole reason I'm successful at writing is because I'm consistent as
you
hell.
You sure are.
I work every single day, usually.
You sure do.
I work on other people's stories and my own. And...
Our podcast has had over 250,000 downloads.
Unlike Kitty's video.
Not because it's any good.
Because
we've consistently been doing it for 25 years now. No, I'm just kidding.
But we do it every single week. And we're still married consistently because...
I unload the dishwasher every morning.
That's right.
And replace it with the dirty dishes and feed the dogs and make the coffee and... Get everything pretty before you come downstairs. So my queen has fresh coffee awaiting for her she can start her work day. Make some money.
Anyways, but that's like so lovely and consistent. Like you're consistently kind. And like in a marriage or a relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem super sexy, but it is super sexy.
Yeah.
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 All right. Sean's
looking. She's just trying to get me to keep doing it.
Sean's looking at me like, "Wait, you don't consistently do anything."
That's not true. Not true at all. Consistently put up with me.
That's true. Yeah. So I know tons of brilliant minds and brilliant, brilliant, brilliant writers who are so good at wording and wordsmithing and thinking, and but they haven't published yet, and they want to, but they haven't. Published yet, mostly because they haven't been consistent and finished their stories and done the work to get there.
Yeah.
There's no one way to be a writer, but one thing that really helps is actually consistently writing.
So, Nims, who is a communication genius and a lovely writer to boot, has some helpful hints about how to be consistent that we're going to share with you. First, she says...
I can't stop laughing. Okay, she says, just aim to get good.
That's pretty easy, right? Don't try to be Lance Armstrong, but if you want to be a bicyclist, ride your bike all the time. Don't try to be Homer, but if you want to write an epic poem about the gods, write as much as you can and know a little bit about the gods.
Yeah, you should.
Her second bit of advice is a bit harder.
Show up even when you don't want to.
That's the whole butt in chair adage that all writing teachers tell all writers. In order to write the story, you have to sit down and actually write the story. This helpful hint is a lot like the first helpful hint, isn't it? Practice makes you better. You don't get results if you don't do the work.
Her other hints are also lovely, but my favorite is this one.
Tuck your feelings on a high shelf.
So, Holly Goldberg Sloan said this quote, just being there is 99% of what matters when your world falls apart. And Karen, was that Karen? Was that Karen? Karen, yes, Karen also quotes her, but also says herself in her article, our moods and feelings are valid, especially now, but we can't afford to let them govern everything, especially when we're struggling with motivation. So don't ask yourself how you're feeling before taking action. Just schedule it and follow through.
That's pretty good advice.
Yeah, man.
She tells us not to quit even when everything sucks and there's a pandemic, and not to compare
yourself to all
these brilliant other people who have been consistent are already successful. She says that you're allowed to think, damn, I don't want to be a writer anymore. You can do something different. Go after something else.
It's totally okay. It doesn't mean you failed because you've still created all those skills that you've learned by trying to be a writer.
That's right.
Or learning how to be a writer or learning how to write better. So anyways, we have the link to her full article in the podcast notes.
Sweet.
And the writing tip of the pod is be consistent.
Be consistent?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, man.
I try. Remember? Wait. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
This is based on you calling me being good at being mean because I was consistent. I just realized that.
You only just got that.
How'd you do that? I'm no, wait, wait. It. I need the listeners to hear this. No,
no, no. For lifetime.
No. And we'll pick up with that other subject in a minute. Oh, I know we're recording.
Oh.
This is Dog Tip for Life. Anyways. Sparty's feeling a little rambunctious on this nice, beautiful Sunday morning. And I asked him what he thought about our writing tip of the pod.
Oh, boy.
And he said, consistency almost always pays off. And I said, really? He's like, surely, would you like to give me some, or would you like me to give you some examples? I was like, all right, how about just one? He said, okay. Well, consistently every day, as soon as you leave the house, I run in the office and I start slapping mom on her knee with my paw.
I tell all our secrets.
And that either results in me getting thrown out of the office or getting a treat. But the results are always the same. One of the two things.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
But he tries every day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he's rewarded with the goodness that he seeks. Oh, that sounds just like me. I wholeheartedly agree with Sparty's advice.
Oh, no.
Be consistent. But now, uh-oh, back to the other subject.
Darn it.
I need to know.
We don't want to tell whatever it is.
I can't imagine that when we did that random thought, the short amount of time that has passed, and I know we were sleeping for the vast majority of that time since we did this podcast.
Since you did the voice memo.
Since we did the voice random memo, thought. Random thought in bed. Yes. It's for emphaticness.
Don't emphasis. Hit the poor people listening.
Anyways, between the time that we did the random thought and the time that we're actually making this recording, I don't think you had time to write the actual podcast. So that means that you had already written it and you somehow manipulated the situation during the random thought into being able to say I was good at being mean because I was consistent.
I didn't manipulate
it. And that is truly, truly worrisome to me.
I don't think you realize how brilliant I am,
baby. Oh, I'm going to have to rethink this whole thing now. Folks, if you don't hear from me in the next 24 hours, Carrie was the last person I saw.
That is so mean. You are consistently mean.
She's dangerous.
I'm not dangerous. You're so mean.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We really appreciate you listening to the podcast. You can find us everywhere. And you've already found us once if you're listening now. And like Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. Just Google Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Then like and subscribe. The notes to the podcast are also always on carriejonesbooks.blog. Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E. I realized I don't always tell people that. And we'd like a shout out. The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's the artist and what song is this? It's Night Owl by Broke for Free. You can go to the podcast episode notes and find a link right to it.
Listen to that fantastic music all the time.
Yeah, man.
So, what do we got going on in our lives, love?
Well, right now, we've released the book, The Places We Hide, which is an adult mystery.
And it's good.
It's so good.
I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it truly is good.
John just thinks it's really good because the main character he thinks is him.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, possibly.
Also, I am doing a course. I've started a course.
A course?
A course.
What kind of course?
It's a bit like a distance MFA program, and people get to hang out together in a Zoom chat once every month, and I give them feedback for their stories every month. They submit 20 pages, and there's a Facebook group, and we have a bunch of people already signed up, which is awesome because...
So it's like a writing course.
It's a writing course that's also very supportive and helps build community. So you get direct feedback from me and love from other writers.
I know. Any course that you're involved with has the instructors more. There's also like a life coaching course.
That's very
Because you're so
sweet.
Awesome.
That's very sweet.
I know.
There's more information about it on my website. Once again, carriejonesbooks.blog.
You can never say that too much.
carriejonesbooks.blog.
And what else are you doing, love?
Am I doing anything else?
Well, I mean,
sorry.
You edit people's work?
I'm teaching at the Writing Barn. I edit people's work. You can find me on Readsy. I'm writing my own books. What else are you doing, boo?
Me?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm just doing my regular work.
But
we are going to start formatting people's books also.
Woo!
And we will be doing print edition and
ebook. Ebooks. So we're all in one.
Types of formatting styles.
Right. So you can come to us and we will clean up your grammar.
Full service.
Yeah, man.
Book prep / publishing house.
Yeah. Only thing we're not doing is cover design.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Once again, that will have to land back in your on your desk, though, because unless people want stick figures for the covers all the time.
You'd have the funniest cover ever. That'd be awesome.
Every book's a kid's book here.
Like Edie's font. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'll do the Kama Sutra cover with stick figures.
No. It always goes back.
No, it's just an example of how it could be deceptive because it's stick figures, but you never know what's inside.
Anyways, we're going to end it here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We really appreciate it. And we stay healthy and strong, okay?
Yeah.
Because we need you in this
world. Stay strong.